All right, as I said already, it's great to be together this morning. Who all is still a little tired from Thanksgiving? I kind of feel that this morning a little bit. You know, it's like, give thanks, you know, anyway, it's good to be together. I know that we've all eaten plenty of food, I would imagine, this week. I've heard stories of different things. We actually had a pretty good turkey, very good turkey this year. Last year, I went to get the turkey out of the refrigerator and had refrozen because the refrigerator's in the garage and it was real cold last Thanksgiving, if you remember. And so it smoked for like 12 hours and then went in the oven for a little longer at 450 degrees. So it was very dry and tough last year. And so my wife and kids banned me from all turkey cooking. All right, and so it went better this year. It tasted very good. I was very happy with that and that we didn't have to deal with a frozen turkey. So even after the 12 hours of smoking, it was still raw in the middle. And so we were cooking it, you know, cutting it and things, and it was terrible. And so we were all sick about it for about 6 months after that. All right, but I hope you all didn't have any experiences like that. But we're glad to be together. Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 2 for just a moment. And we're going to start talking about the birth of Christ what that means for us and what God has done for mankind. Here's the situation. As you study Scripture, you recognize man's sinful condition. The Bible tells us that God, speaking to Adam and Eve, He says, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. We learn in Genesis 5 that death comes upon man. Even Adam dies in Genesis chapter number 5. The book of Romans tells us this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. The wages of sins, Romans 6 says, is death. We are separated from God. We have sinned. We are declared unrighteous because of our own disobedience to God. And so as we talk about the birth of Christ, this is God's plan of salvation. This was not invented by man. This was from God. And so in Luke chapter number 2 and in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Bible tells us in Luke 2 and verse 11 that Christ is born as a Savior. We needed saving. We needed forgiveness for our sin and our disobedience to God. And there is no way that man can produce within themselves the righteousness needed to stand before a holy and a righteous God. The book of Romans also mentions that every mouth will be stopped. There's nothing we can say. There's no excuse we can give before God for our sins. We have disobeyed. And so this morning, we're going to begin to talk about God's work and God's plan in the birth of Christ and what that means for you and I as we come upon the Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Listen, this is what it's all about. This is why you are here today, is because of Jesus Christ. This is why this church was even built in the first place, because of the good news of the birth of Christ, His death upon the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. This is why we are here. This is what is important. J.B. Phillips says this. He says, "God may thunder His commands from Mount Sinai, and men may fear, yet remain in heart exactly as they were before. But let a man once see God, his God, down in the arena as a man, suffering, tempted, sweating, and agonizing, finally dying a criminal's death. And he is a hard man indeed who is left untouched." Another author says this, "Jesus Christ, the meeting place of eternity and time, the blending of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth. Watchman Nee says this: God will answer all our questions in one way only, namely by showing us more of His Son. This is what Christianity is about. It is about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the birth of Christ stands at the center of God's greatest story and God's story of redemption. As I've written in my notes, on a quiet night in Bethlehem, God steps into human history. The eternal world becomes flesh and dwells among us, as the Bible says in John 1 and verse number 14. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal world, Word becomes flesh. John 1 also says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The manger in the Gospels is more than just a cradle. It is the moment when heaven is going to touch earth. The moment that God would come near. The moment the promise of salvation that had been written throughout the Old Testament and the prophecies that were given would become reality. And the Bible says in verse 11, just so casually, "For unto you is born a child." Unto you, He says in verse 11, "in this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So five things this morning that the birth of Christ means for you and I, and what God was doing through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills the promises of God. It fulfills the promises of God. You remember, I've mentioned this more times than I could probably ever count, but you remember what promise that was in Genesis 3:15. Right after man has fallen into sin, He says, "I will bring a redeemer through the seed," as you see there on the screen, Genesis 3:15. And so the birth of Christ is the fulfillment of the promise of God. God promised to provide a way for mankind and their salvation, for rescue from their sinful condition. That is why in Isaiah chapter number 9, in verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." The Old Testament predicts the work of Christ. It predicts the birth of Christ, just as it was promised in Genesis 3:15, just as it was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, and then in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, it was foretold by the prophet Micah the place of His birth, which would be Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies concerning the coming one, the one that would provide salvation for mankind. Take your Bibles quickly and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and verse number 22. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 22, talking about the fulfillment of prophecies, the author says, "Now all this was done," talking about all the things leading up to Christ, even the genealogy of Christ, as he says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Christ was on the wise." All these things were happening, but look at what he says in verse 22. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying." These things were done, so it would be fulfilled, so we would know who Christ was. And then verse 23, he says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The birth of Christ is the fulfillment of the promises of God. In other words, as you look at the birth of Christ, we are reminded that God keeps His word. Every time, without fail, in Jesus, God has kept His word for the redemption of mankind. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 20, the Bible says, in Christ, he says, and all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. And so as we think of what Christ has done, we are reminded with our praise to God what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. So the coming of Christ is the fulfillment of God's promises. We could continue on about this for an entire sermon and another sermon after that. But Christ is the fulfillment of what God promised to do. God keeps his promises. Number two this morning, something that I think we often forget about, something that we argue about and things, there's all kinds of different ideas about this, but I think the birth of Christ reveals to us the heart of God. I think the birth of Christ reveals to us the heart of God. The verse that we all know, it's almost like we don't even pay attention to it anymore because we all know it so well. But remember John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The heart of God is redemption. The heart of God is redemption. God is not slack concerning his promises, the Bible says, as some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's heart is a heart of redemption. God desires for man to be forgiven. The angels in heaven rejoice over a soul that comes to Christ. The birth of Christ reveals the heart of God. Philippians 2 talks about the humility of Christ and even becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. The humility of his birth declares to you and I the love of Jesus Christ. Christ came for the lowly. He came for the broken. He came for the forgotten. The sinner in need of his grace. Christ came and is born in Bethlehem to redeem you and I from our sinful condition. Christ did not come to push humanity away, but to draw us near. In Bethlehem, we see a God who has designed the plan of redemption for mankind, who understands our weakness and our sinful condition, and sends a Savior, a rescuer from our sin. The heart of God is the salvation of man. What else would the heart of God be? Why else would he have sent Christ to be born and to die and to raise from the dead if his heart was not that man would be forgiven? Did Jesus not tell parables about the sheep that are lost and the 99 that are there and the one that is missing, and he searches for that one? Because of Jesus Christ, you are never too lost to come to salvation because of the work of Jesus Christ. The heart of God is your forgiveness. We used to joke, and I'm sure you've heard this joke, and this is a popular thing to say in the South, and maybe you say it here. I've not heard as much here, but I would invite people to church, and they would say, Josh, if I come to church, something's going to fall in. What is it? The roof falls in. Now, we had the porch fall off last winter with the snow, but it wasn't because who came in, right? And so the Bible, the people say, well, if I come to church, the roof will fall in. Actually, that is not the case, is it? The heart of God is for the forgiveness of man. He has done this so you can have a relationship with him once again that was broken because of sin and disobedience, but is restored in the work of Jesus Christ. We see the heart of God in the birth of Christ, that he so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. I've told stories about this on Wednesday nights, and I know a lot of people still watch from Virginia and things. And when I was in Virginia, we had a recovery home, a drug recovery home. And these men would come, and you wouldn't believe their stories and believe the things that they had gone through, and to see the places they've been and the things they had done with their life. And many of them would be afraid that they couldn't be forgiven of their sin or they had gone too far. And right now in the recovery home, it's called Recovery Through Christ, the manager of the home was a drug addict for 25 years and got clean. He was there the first night that we had a Monday night meeting, and he came the first night, and he had been saved, and he was got clean from drugs, and he now manages the drug recovery home. Another man who's the night manager, and I just confirmed this the other day, his name was Marvin Graham. Drug addict for over 20 years, I believe. He is now the night manager. You're never too far gone because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of God is the salvation and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. And Bethlehem reveals that. It shows you God's desire for man. If he did not want you to be saved, he would have never orchestrated Bethlehem. He would have never orchestrated the cross and the resurrection. God's heart is for the salvation of man. And I think we will know that more and more, and especially when we're in God's presence, we'll recognize all that God had done for the salvation of mankind. Number three, quickly, the heart of God is revealed in Bethlehem. The promises of God are revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the birth of Christ is, I guess I've kind of already given this point, it makes salvation possible. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ was born to die. He was born to raise from the dead, to bring salvation for mankind. Bethlehem, I like this. Bethlehem points to Calvary. The cradle points to the cross. And the birth is the first step in the mission that would redeem every sinner who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. Christ is the way of salvation. The law does not save. Baptism does not save. Church attendance does not save. But Jesus Christ saves. And the birth of Christ was that first step in the rescue mission for mankind. There is no way for salvation except for through Jesus Christ. You say, Josh, that sounds terribly narrow-minded. Well, forgive me. The Bible, I think it is more narrow-minded to provide a bunch of ways that don't give salvation than preaching the truth about what actually does bring salvation, which is through Jesus Christ. Christ is the only way to God. He is the fulfillment of the prophecies. He is the one that was to come. And so the birth makes salvation as it points and ultimately leads to the cross where he would die. The birth of Christ makes salvation possible. As we have said, as I read to begin with this morning, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He would bring salvation. Let me ask you a question. I'm only halfway through. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? You recognize that He's the only one that provides salvation for mankind? Have you ever trusted in Him? I once heard a story from my pastor when I was a kid named Pastor Dean Baker. He's since gone to be with the Lord. I didn't ever want to be a pastor. I hope you understand. That was not my plan. But he used to say to me, he'd say, Josh, when you start preaching, I want you to come preach it at the church there on the reservation. I would say, Pastor Baker, I'm not planning on doing that. That's not going to happen. And yet, he would still say that over and over. I guess maybe he knew something that I didn't know. But he would tell the story about a room that had a bowling ball in it. And he would tell a story about every 1,000 years that a dove was released into this room and it would brush its wing over this bowling ball. And that was repeated time and time and time again until the bowling ball was ground down or worn down to the size of a ballpoint pen. Obviously, this is just a story that didn't happen, but it's an illustration. And he's talking about when that finally is accomplished, eternity has just begun. Who on here has ever been to the Grand Canyon? Have you ever looked down into that canyon? You're like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Let's imagine That you go to Pensacola, Florida, which I lived there for several years, and you take a little spoonful of sand and you ride your bicycle to the Grand Canyon and you dump it in the Grand Canyon and then you ride back. And you do that over and over until the Grand Canyon is level with the white sand of the Pensacola beaches. Think how long that would take. It's impossible. Add that up. Eternity has just begun. Do you understand, my friend? If you leave this earth without Christ, you will spend eternity separated forever from Him. You don't want to be wrong about Christ. You don't want to trust the wrong way. Jesus is the way of salvation. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises of God. Jesus is the one that makes salvation possible. He's revealed the heart of God. God has brought salvation to man through the work of Jesus Christ. Don't be wrong about the way to God. It's only through Christ. Number 4 and 5, and we'll be done this morning. The birth of Christ brings hope. The birth of Christ brings hope. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10. He says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The angel declares good news and great joy. And they sang, as we continue in that story, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." Light has broken into darkness with the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has brought hope, light, and peace to mankind. Listen, 3 things. In a world filled with fear, Jesus brings peace. In a world that is filled with confusion, Jesus brings the truth. In a world filled with sorrow, Jesus brings joy. Jesus is what God has intended to bring joy, light, and peace to mankind. Jesus' birth changes everything. The King has arrived. The Savior has come. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Don't be fearful. I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And he says, "And this shall be a sign unto you." And then number 5 this morning. Maybe we should get a trap door, right? Number 5 this morning, the birth of Christ calls us to worship what God has done. Just as the shepherds hurried to see the newborn king and to spread the good news, we are called to respond to Christ's birth the same way, with worship and testimony. Do we spread what God has done, or do we keep it to ourselves? If you have a great meal at a restaurant, you tell all your friends, "Hey, have you been to Quincy's, right? You get a steak and a baked potato and a salad for the same price all the time, right?" And we tell people about that. Or there's something we like, we enjoy, and we spread the good news. And yet, how often our mouths are quiet about the fact that we have been redeemed from an eternal hell through Jesus Christ. How often we are quiet in telling people about what God has done through Jesus Christ. How often we are tempted to not worship our God and to not sing His praises. Even after eating a bunch of turkey on Thanksgiving and we're gathered together on Sunday morning and the songs begin. And if you're like me, you're thinking, "I'm tired. I can barely sing." I looked over to Carter. I said, "Carter, are you singing?" He said, "Kinda." But should we not lift our voice in song to our God for what He has done? Should we not come together and instead of dragging ourselves into church, you know, it's amazing to me. I've always found this to be interesting. 10:45 on Sunday is so early. But on Monday, we think the day's half over. Have you ever thought about that? Sunday morning, it's like, "Wow, Sunday school is 9:30. That is so early." But tomorrow morning, we'll say, "Well, I'm almost at lunch," right? And, you know, so, but should we not worship and spread what God has done for us through Christ? Should this not be the most exciting news we've ever heard? And should we not tell everybody we know about Jesus has come? He has been born, He died, He rose from the dead. If you put your faith and trust in Him, you will live forever in eternity instead of hell. That's some pretty good news. Right? That's good news. Well, you all are tired this morning, all right? And so the birth of Christ calls us to worship and witness what Christ has done. The shepherds hurried to the newborn king to spread the news. And so we also are called to respond in the same way. The wise men traveled far to honor him because of what had taken place. So we celebrate not just a baby in the manger, but a Savior. Not just a moment in time, but a miracle that God has performed for mankind. Not just a story, but a turning point in human history. The birth of Christ is God's declaration of this: I have come to rescue. I have come to redeem. And I have come to restore mankind back to their Creator. What an amazing thing God has done for mankind. So the birth of Christ is the fulfillment of God's promises. The birth of Christ is a revealing of the heart of God. The birth of Christ makes salvation for man possible as the birth leads to the cross. And the birth of Christ brings light and peace and hope. And it reminds us and calls us to worship and witness. And it's the declaration that God has come to rescue, redeem, and restore mankind. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanna Bethany are going to come play a song for us on the piano and violin. But let's bow our heads together this morning. Can we take just a moment to reflect upon the greatness of what God has done? Take just a moment to remind ourselves the greatness of this season in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior. As we are reminded of the rescue plan of God to redeem and restore and rescue man from their sins. Take a moment there in your seat. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, thank Him for what He's done. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, call upon Him by faith and His finished work upon the cross. God's heart is for your salvation. He wants man to be saved. Declaring His work as we should? Are we telling others about the greatest news that has ever existed? Are we worshiping as we should? Thank you. would continue to praise God for what he's done in the birth of Christ. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Montiel, he's already displayed our final verse. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. Let's read this together. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. Let's say that one more time like we mean it. Here we go. Ready? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the work of Jesus Christ. As we come into this time of year where we are reminded once again of this amazing thing that you have done as you have sent your only Son into the earth. Father, we praise you for this work. We thank you for your heart and for the redemption of mankind. We thank you, Lord, for the providing a way for the forgiveness of sin through yourself. We ask, God, that as we continue to study and look and be reminded of these great truths, that you would draw us unto yourself. I pray, God, for any that do not know Christ, may they come to you by faith, trusting in the only begotten Son of God. We ask, God, that you would keep us safe as we go our separate ways. I pray, God, you would be with those that aren't here today, many that are traveling. Pray for those that are sick, those that are going through treatments, and I ask, God, that you would be with them. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.